It's a known fact. As sure as day follows night, winter comes after spring, after flooding rain, there are flies. And boy, were they thick in Cloncurry last week. At times, it was enough to make a radio broadcaster choke on her words.
Righto, Mayor Greg Campbell, I do want to touch on those topics very soon, looking forward. But because we are in Cloncurry, and I have just swallowed my first fly, which I'm pretty sure won't be my last. Gee, they're thick on the ground today, mate.
Oh, and they were thick. And there's nothing worse, is there? Not just having one or two, but dozens of creepy, crawling little insects who've been God knows where, going all over your face, up your nose, in the corner of your eyes and mouth. Yuck, is all I can say in response. And today, I thought I would take the liberty of seeking out an explanation. Why are flies so thick on the ground after flooding rain? Now, maybe you have a theory of your own. If you do, I'd love to hear from you on 1300 360 612, or you can send me a text as well on 0487 993 222. I have had one bit of advice already. Charlie, the flies might be bad in the curry, but it only makes the beer taste better. You'll get no argument from me on that front at all, but I would love to hear from you as part of our discussion today. Are they just part of life in the bush? Or can you help me out with a bit of advice on how to take evasive action when they do get as thick as they were in Cloncurry last week? One bloke who might be able to help us out with some of the answers is Dr. Peter James. Dr. James, I want to welcome you to our air-conditioned comfort of the ABC studios, which was, I have to say, stark contrast to where I was this time last week in Cloncurry. Thanks for dropping by.
Hi, Charlie.
You work with the Queensland Alliance for Agriculture and Food Innovation. What's your area of expertise?
Well, the things that we work with mainly, Charlie, are insects and other parasites either infesting livestock or associated with livestock, breeding around them and worrying them.
Righto. Well, that's an authoritative source as you're likely to get. Why were the flies so bad?
Well, I guess the thing about flies is there's a whole lot of different species of flies. Now, I know the one you're talking about, and we'll get to that in a minute. But nearly all of these flies, the ones that breed in manure or in rubbish, they all do better when it's wetter. You know, it's moister, the eggs can hatch better, the larvae survive better, and there's just a lot more of them around.
Even when so much of the country's underwater, wouldn't make it a bit challenging for the humble fly to breed?
Well, that's right. I mean, the fly that's going to be in your eye and around your nose are going to be bush flies, and they're breeding in cattle manure pretty much exclusively. You're right that if it gets too wet, they don't breed very, very well. But there's all those habitat on the edge of the of where they're breeding, which is it's going to be more suitable. And also, after a period of time, the grass becomes more nutritious. The manure becomes more sloppy and the flies just breed better. And there's one other thing too that might make it seem worse than it really is. Now these flies, the maggots breed in the manure, but the adults, and particularly the females, have to have a source of protein. And where they'll come to get that is around your eyes and around your, maybe sweat, but particularly eyes or saliva or around the noses of animals. And if you can think of it, after a flood like that, there's not going to be that many places where they can actually get that protein. So they you come walking along and you're just...
right, you know, for the picking.
Absolutely, smorgasbord.
You're hearing from Dr. Peter James, who is from the Queensland Alliance for Agriculture and Food Innovation. Peter James, does the fact that these flooding rains came so soon or so quickly after prolonged drought, does that make any difference to the way that the country or the species more specifically respond?
Probably not that much. I mean, this would be the time when those flies are around mostly anyway. They're in low numbers, and the reason that they're there so quickly is that they just breed up really quickly. They're all growing lots of eggs. Their life cycle is completed in about a week or a few more days, and then all of the predators and parasites that feed on them take a while to build up. So in that meantime, when those flies are breeding up really quickly, they're not being fed on much by themselves. All those predators and parasites build up a bit later, and then as they catch up, the fly numbers also come down for that reason. Perhaps one of the other things that might be happening is that dung beetles take a while to build up. They're quite slow breeding, and dung beetles have a very big effect on just removing all that those tons of cattle manure from around the ground, and so taking away basically the food source for the flies to breed in.
Now, thinking about this dung smorgasbord that you've described so eloquently, under these prolific breeding conditions, what chance do the livestock, or dare I say, we humans have under those circumstances?
Well, those particular flies are not causing that much damage to the livestock. They're annoying, but they're really not causing any damage. There are other flies which will also breed up, like buffalo flies, for example, which will be favoured by these really wet conditions. They breed up nearly as quickly as bush flies, not quite as quickly. They bite and they very much irritate the cattle and cause production loss. So they're much more of a concern in terms of impacts on cattle.
So how long will it take for the predators, those parasites, to catch up? Get a handle on the situation?
There's no right answer to that. It depends what's happened to them. I mean, some of them might have been knocked out a lot by the floods. So it happens as it can, and probably other factors will be also important. You know, it'll get a bit drier, and you know, as it gets hotter and there's not as much rain, the dung will dry out more quickly and won't be as favourable for fly breeding.
Peter James, you'll be interested to know we're getting a couple of helpful suggestions from our Talkback listeners who have called the Country Hour on 1300 360 612. Mick from Tully says that you can create what's called a bullia fly veil. Are you familiar with a bullia fly veil?
Not specifically, but I'm guessing.
I'm not surprised, but apparently a bullia fly veil is achieved by cutting a hole in the seat of your trousers. Bit of a diversionary tactic there.
And that really adds to the smorgasbord, doesn't it?
Apparently it does. Mick reckons that I should harden up. I've come from Corumbra. I should be used to flies. Mick, nothing like the ones that I experienced on the ground in Cloncurry last Wednesday. There's another suggestion here that the dogs must love it. More sky raisins for them. Some interesting colloquial insights there. Dr. Peter James, you've been studying flies for the best part of your professional career, perhaps even before that. How have the fly populations changed or evolved in that time?
Well, I mean, the big impact has been the introduction of dung beetles on most of the flies that we're talking about now. Before they were actually introduced, flies used to be a real problem for all of the year through most of Australia. These flies that breed mainly in the north in the summer will actually go down south as well. And so we've introduced more than, largely CSIRO, more than 50 species of dung beetles, all that do slightly different things, work in slightly different conditions, slightly different dung types. And they have a really big impact on availability of dung for particularly bush fly feeding.
Just from a management perspective, finally, Dr. James, are there any key messages that quite seriously, we're being flippant, but quite seriously that cattle producers should know at this time, or is this just a fact of life?
Well, once again, it goes back to the species of flies. In terms of the annoying ones, the ones that are in your eyes, the ones that are on your back, they're really not causing much damage to anyone. I mean, they can carry trachoma. If you let them stay in your eyes, they can transmit trachoma, but most of the time they're not there long enough to do that. The other ones, buffalo flies, are more of a problem. And I think probably most of the producers out there will have their own programs for dealing with buffalo flies. And it's, even though we're doing a lot of work in that space right now, it's probably not enough time to go into the details about how they might manage them.
Maybe we'll keep that conversation for another day. But thank you, Dr. Peter James from the Queensland Alliance for Food and Agricultural Innovation. I really appreciate you dropping by today.
Thanks, Charlie.